goede mensen vind je razendsnel op Temper. Plaats je shift op het platform en kies zelf uit duizenden freelance professionals op basis van hun ratings en skills. Van 1 tot 100 man, voor 1 shift of regelmatig, je vindt ze op Temper. Al vanaf 18,90 per uur. Temper, shift your workforce.
BNR Nieuwsradio. De Dutch Podcast Top 20. André Dortmund.
Hey, leuk dat je er weer bij bent. Welkom bij deze zomereditie. Even geen lijstje, maar een paar goede tips die je kunt luisteren tijdens je vakantie. Vandaag doen we Engelstalig. Je hoort zometeen The Lazarus Heist, 20,000 Hertz, Renegades en we beginnen met Song Exploder. Een podcast die al sinds 2014 bekende liedjes uit elkaar trekt en de oorsprongen van onderzoekt met de artiesten zelf. In deze aflevering hoor je de hit van The Sparks uit 1974. This town ain't big enough for the both of us. En zo klonk die. This town ain't big enough for both of us.
I'm Russell Mail from Sparks.
And this is Ron Mail from Sparks. We moved to England in 1973, but we had had two albums out in the States previously, but they sold in a very slow fashion. We had played one show in the UK with the band that we had at the time, and Island Records really liked the songwriting and they really liked the singing and thought if we assembled British musicians around us that there was something there that they could push. So Russell and I just moved to England and there were no songs. So over a period of about 6 months, I was writing and one of the songs that came up was This Town Ain't Big Enough for the Both of Us.
Ron had played me the song just on this upright piano, and I thought it was really striking. It sounded very classical, like a classical melody.
There weren't any lyrics for it at the time. We almost always have the music first and then add lyrics later just because we don't want the music structure to be restricted by kind of a very formal blocking out of the lyrics. We were trying to figure out something because the song was kind of cinematic in a way. So the Western cliche, this town ain't big enough for the both of us, I don't know, it just kind of came to mind.
Sometimes there might be an initial lyric that he writes that I think maybe didn't match the tone of the melody. And so I'll kindly request, like I'm a movie studio, we're going to need a rewrite on that, sir.
I get notes.
But for this town, because the song is so unorthodox, that lyric, I don't even know if I was able to judge whether that's a good lyric or a bad lyric, but it was such an interesting lyric. But then I was going, how am I going to sing that?
This town ain't big enough for the both of us. You know, it's a pretty big mouthful. This town ain't big enough for the both of us.
And that melody that he played on the right hand was exactly the melody that I sang. So there's some vocal acrobatics to be able to have to sing that song.
Daily, except for Sunday, you dawdle into the cafe where you meet her each day. Heartbeat, increase in heartbeat, as 20 cannibals have hold of you. They need the protein just like you do. This sound ain't big enough for both of us.
A lot of it's really high, the singing. And at that time, we didn't even consider things like transposing songs to a key that's more suitable for a singer. We just said, well, that's the key he wrote it in, so you got to sing it in that key. And I think that helped to kind of dictate the style of the singing for that song just via the melody that Ron had written.
You know that this sound isn't big enough, not big enough for both of us. This sound isn't big enough, not big enough for both of us. I ain't gonna...
Nieuwsradio.
Song Exploder. Bekende liedjes worden uitgelegd door de artiesten zelf in een podcast van Hrishikesh Hirway. Je luistert naar een speciale editie van de Dutch Podcast Top 20 met luistertips voor de vakantieperiode. En vandaag doen we alleen Engelstalig. Het is bijna de perfecte misdaad. De poging om $1 miljard te stelen. De onderzoekers geven hackers uit Noord-Korea de schuld, maar Noord-Korea ontkent alles. Het verhaal begint in Hollywood. Dit is de volgende tip. The Lazarus Heist.
Imagine you were going to break into a bank and try to steal $1 billion. How would you pull it off?
Well, first you need to assemble the right crew.
These attackers have no fear.
They started out on the streets.
Stolen cars, counterfeit pharmaceuticals, weapons, crystal meth deal. They would have killed me had they found out.
But then they took their crime online.
They have their own kind of laptops. They kind of live in what you would call like a hacker warehouse or a hacker dorm.
The door opened. It was just dead silence. And that's when I discovered that this was known as the hacker hotel.
They turn the internet into a battleground.
A holy cow moment. This is what they've stolen.
Rampaging through the network.
There was chaos.
Leaving victims' lives in ruins.
Googling myself and my legs getting like numb.
It's kind of like too late. Forever I'm paying for it.
It was over for me.
Then they go after a bank.
No one in their right mind, no cyber criminal had tried to transfer $1 billion.
How in the world did this happen?
It was astounding.
They spirit away the cash.
Now it's laundered. Now nobody knows where that money came from. It's just casino winnings, and you can go and do what you want with it.
It was almost like a perfect crime, meticulously planned and executed.
They leave investigators in the dust.
What do you mean they've disappeared?
A terrifying incident. Probably one of the most terrifying that I've ever seen.
The sheer size and scale and the enormity of this attack.
I just saw the entire financial markets grinding to a halt.
Behind it all, they say, is one man.
The mob boss, the Soprano, the Pablo Escobar. Also the head of state overseeing a nuclear weapons program.
He's actually rational and he shouldn't be underestimated.
But he calls the allegations a farce aimed at tarnishing his country's image.
The casinos, the good-looking manager of the branch, the guy who disappeared. I mean, you name it, you got it all.
It may sound like a Hollywood film,
but it's all true. It's the story of the Lazarus Heist.
De Lazarus Heist, een podcast met 10 afleveringen. En die is van de BBC, gehost door Jeff White en Gene Lee. Dan de volgende tip. International Infamy. Geruchtmakende moordzaken van over de hele wereld. Een podcast van Ashley Flowers. In dit fragment gaan we naar Engeland.
Walk into a room and ask people to name 3 serial killers. Odds are someone will say Jack the Ripper. Because Jack the Ripper isn't just a serial killer. He's a pop culture villain. He's in books, movies, comics. Only he isn't fictional. He is very real. In 1888, Jack murdered at least 5 women, all within a single square mile of London. On the surface, these gruesome crimes seem unexplainable. But the more you know about London in the 19th century, the more it begins to make sense. Jack the Ripper may be a symbol of evil, but he's the symptom, not the disease. Often in an unsolved crime, you can point out exactly where it all went wrong. The moment a lead was dropped, or the trial was compromised. I've read about a lot of cases where the police majorly screwed up. And let me tell you, Jack the Ripper, this case isn't one of them. Let's go back to London in 1888. The Metropolitan Police discover the second murder along Whitechapel Road in less than a month. So they do just what they're supposed to. They call in an expert from Scotland Yard, Inspector Frederick Aberline. Inspector Aberline's been to Whitechapel. He worked there for 14 years. This is one of the worst neighborhoods in London. No one has any money, a huge portion of the population doesn't have housing, and apparently one of the more popular crimes is stealing people's dogs. Aberline knows the dangers of Whitechapel better than anyone. And when he arrives, the police fill him in on the latest murder. The victim's name is Polly Nichols. Unlike many women at the time, Polly was literate. She grew up around the newspaper business. She lived in Whitechapel with her husband and kids until her husband started cheating on her with the next door neighbor. At the time, it was basically impossible for a woman to get a divorce. Polly left her husband, but sadly, she was seen as a fallen woman. She had nowhere to live and was doing odd jobs to scrape together money for a bed in a Doss house, which was basically a for-profit homeless shelter. The night of Polly's murder, she didn't have the money to pay for her bed. She was turned away at the Doss house door. Polly told the landlord she'd get her money and be back. But hours later, she was found lying in the street, dead. Polly was killed right in the spot where she was found. And she must have been killed quickly, within the half hour it took the local police constable to do his rounds. But no one in the area saw or heard anything, which, given how gruesome the scene is shocking. Polly's killer strangled her, then tried to behead her with a knife. When she's found, her head is barely attached to her body, and her skirts are pulled up to her waist, revealing jagged incisions down her abdomen. The cuts are almost surgical, as if the killer was trying to get to her organs. Despite years of expertise, Inspector Aberline is lost. He says not the slightest clue can be obtained from the crime scene. Still, he tells the officers to interview locals. And here's where they find their first lead. It just so happens there's a mysterious criminal in the area nicknamed the Leather Apron. He's been extorting sex workers under the threat of disembowelment. If they don't pay, he'll cut them open. Just like someone cut open Polly Nichols.
BNR Nieuwsradio. André Dortmund.
The Lazarus Heist, een podcast over geruchtmakende moordzaken van over de hele wereld. Als je van true crime houdt, moet je deze even luisteren. Een podcast van Ashley Flowers. Tip nummer 4. 20.000 Hertz. Een podcast over de meest herkenbare en interessante geluiden. In deze aflevering duikt Dallas Taylor, de host van de podcast, in de 100 jaar oude tune van 20th Century Fox. En die ken je wel.
After just 1 second, you might be able to guess what this is. It has introduced thousands of films. And for millions of people, it means one thing. It's movie time.
It's so exciting because movies were such a part of our lives growing up.
That's David Newman, a Hollywood composer and conductor. David has written scores for movies like Matilda, Ice Age, The Sandlot, Dr. Dolittle, Jingle All the Way, Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, and tons more. But David's not the only composer in his family. Everyone in Hollywood knows the Newman name. His cousin is Randy Newman, the composer behind the music of the Toy Story movies, Cars, James and the Giant Peach, and so many more. David's brother Thomas composed the scores for Finding Nemo, The Green Mile, The Shawshank Redemption, Skyfall, and we haven't even gotten to Emil Newman, Lionel Newman, or Maria Newman. Altogether, the Newman family has won 12 Oscars and been nominated for another 93, more than twice as many as any other family.
My mom was the one that made us train. We all played violin from like age 7 and piano, and we had a lot of theory and counterpoint when we were 12 and 13. So it just didn't seem all that abnormal, our family.
That's because their father was also a legendary film composer. His name was Alfred Newman. Alfred composed the scores to over 200 classic movies, including The Hunchback of Notre Dame, The Mark of Zorro, and The Grapes of Wrath. On top of that, Alfred was the one who actually wrote the 20th Century Fox fanfare. To tell that story, we need to go back more than 100 years to the earliest days of Hollywood. The first movie shot in Hollywood was The Count of Monte Cristo in 1908. A decade later, more than 20 studios had opened in Los Angeles or relocated there from the East Coast. One of these studios was Fox Film.
Fox Films was founded in 1915 in New York by Hungarian immigrant William Fox.
That's Aubrey Solomon. Aubrey's a film historian who has written several books on 20th century Fox.
When production began moving to Los Angeles for the benefit of better weather, Fox bought an existing studio facility and quickly added outdoor stages to it. At that time, most of the stages were outdoor. They were called glass stages because the sunlight was used for lighting. They didn't have enough artificial lighting at the time.
20.000 Hertz is een podcast van Dallas Taylor. Je luistert naar de tweede zomereditie van de Dutch Podcast Top 20 met tips die je op vakantie kunt luisteren. De volgende tip, Renegades, een podcast van een bijzondere vriendschap, Bruce Springsteen en Barack Obama. In deze aflevering gaat het over vader zijn in combinatie met hun carrière.
Bruce and I both agree that the most important anchor over the years has been our families. We were lucky enough to find remarkable, strong, independent women to push us and challenge us and ground us and call us out on our BS. Women who helped us become better versions of ourselves and forced us to continually re-examine our priorities. Michelle and Patty also gave us the single greatest gift of our lives, the chance to be fathers, to experience the joys and trials and profound humility of being husbands and dads. We spent some time trading notes about what wives and kids continue to teach us, what values we want to pass on, what examples we want to set, and what kind of country we want to leave behind for them to inherit. We're now dads.
Oh, yeah.
And how did that change you? How much on-the-job training did you still have to do? Was there still a lot of stuff you had to work out before you kind of got to the point where you said, all right, this is the kind of dad I want to be?
The problem that I had was I didn't trust myself for a long, long, long time with someone else's feelings. All you have is faith to go on. If you take a baby step, you'll be able to take another one. Where did that faith come from? It comes out of the love in your life. In my case, Patty was an enormous source of love in my life and a deep well of faith for me. Gave me the faith in myself to risk parts of myself that I had never risked before and say, hey, I think I'm there at a place where I can hold this down and let the chips fall where they may. If it all crumbles and comes apart and winds up in ruin, then that's what happened, you know. But if it doesn't, what if it doesn't? Then what am I going to do? What if suddenly I find myself with a family and with a long-standing love? Who am I then? All of these things came into question way before being a dad. And, you know, Patty and I, we were just together and we were just loving each other. That was our business of the day, to build something. I'm 35, 36 years old. That's getting up there, you know. And deep inside, I want to have a family. And I felt like I've got to be honest with her. I said, Patty, I don't know if I can make this. And she just said, well, we'll see.
Ja.
Een bijzondere vriendschap, Bruce Springsteen en Barack Obama in één podcast. En die podcast heet Renegades. De laatste Engelstalige tip van deze week. Tomorrow's Monsters, een psychologische sci-fi thriller, een hoorspel. En een hoofdtelefoon wordt aangeraden om de beste beleving te ervaren. Tomorrow's Monsters is een podcast van iHeartRadio. Hou je vast.
Monday, March 27, 0800 hours. Test subject 003B. Tamara Jessup. We are currently at 218 hours without sleep. Patient reporting agitation and lack of focus several hours sooner than the last dose. How are you feeling?
Tired. Coming down, I think.
Any side effects since last night?
A little ringing in my ear.
Which one? So, the left ear. Anything else? Mood swings? Are you upset?
No.
But you are crying. Why are you
crying? Just emotional. The voices, too.
Voices?
Yeah.
Have you talked to Dr. Berkeley about that?
I'm not gonna tell you that.
Excuse me?
No, not.
Let me call Dr. Berkeley.
I don't need your shrink.
Sorry?
I'm fine, really. I'm fine.
Okay. And you haven't been feeling ill?
No.
Physically ill?
Look, can we get on with it and dose me already? We can do the dog and pony show some other time, yeah?
It's important to collect these data points before...
I'm sorry. I just need the fog to go away.
All right. For the record, this is round 13 with a dosage of 2 full exposures, 62.5 PRF, 5 seconds each. Eyes forward. Deep breath. Ready?
Yes.
Here's exposure 1.
Keep breathing, Tamara. Tamara? Tamara!
Okay. That was exposure 1. Patient is responsive. Heart rate spiked to 200, but seems to be stabilizing. Okay. Let's go through the questions. What was your first thought?
Red balloons.
What did you smell?
Cut grass.
Any tingling?
My feet are asleep. My face too.
Breathe deep. Let the blood get back to your head.
I don't remember starting that one. I went deep that time.
Ready for exposure 2?
Yes.
Okay. And 3, 2, and...
Dose number 13 administered. Tamara? Shit. Tamara?
Dit was de laatste Engelstalige tip van deze week. Tomorrow's Monsters, een podcast van iHeartRadio. Lekker om in je vakantie naar te luisteren aan het strand of ergens op de camping of weet ik veel waar. Volgende week doen we klassiekers. Nou, heb jij een klassieke tip voor me? Dus dat je denkt van dat is echt een klassieke podcast. Dre, die moet je meenemen. Mail hem naar me. Mail hem naar dutchpodcasttop20@bnr.nl. Tot volgende week.
Goede mensen vind je razendsnel op Temper. Plaats je shift op het platform en kies zelf uit duizenden freelance professionals op basis van hun ratings en skills. Van 1 tot 100 man, voor 1 shift of regelmatig, je vindt ze op Temper. Al vanaf 18,90 per uur. Temper, shift your workforce.